Office of the Comptroller.
From the Comptroller submitting an informational report regarding a study of the current request for proposals process, in-house versus outsourcing pros and cons, employee pension ramifications, unfunded liabilities, and taxpayer impacts in relation to the Milwaukee County Transit System. This item will also be considered by the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Comptroller.
Good morning. Members of the committee, we are given a directive as part of the budget for 2014 to identify and report on the advantages and challenges of insourcing versus outsourcing transit management and operations. The intention of this was not as like a fiscal analysis or a fiscal report, but just to identify the both the challenges and that can happen from insourcing and outsourcing. We had a group based upon the directive. We had a group consisting of members from the Comptroller's office. We had Brian Dranzik. We had Steve Nye, also from their office. Bill Sell, who is here from Transportation Services Advisory Committee. Jeremy Janine, also from that group. Paul Bargren, Corporation Counsel. Lee Jones came in also from Corporation Counsel. Kevin Moose from Sewer PAC. We had Don Natsky, that was at the beginning until he retired from the county. And we had Molly Paul also from my office. So, and at the end, we had Supervisor Lipscomb join our team to also comment on a few things. So, so we had that group together to come and talk about it. And when we got together to discuss it, we decided to break it up into categories. And so what the charts are going to indicate is the categories, and we decided to break it into two groups, outsource versus insource. We had talked about creating other categories. For example, what if you had a outside management and everybody else was county employees? We thought about, you know, having county being the management of it and everybody else being outside the county and hired through MTS or some other source. We decided to keep it simple just to outsource versus insource, but there are many other options that we considered to have. We talked to Sewer PAC about various options that they were aware of when they had looked at various studies across the country. So we used their expertise for that. And a lot of expertise came in from Transportation Services Advisory Committee Group, both Jeremy and Bill, to offer what riders kind of felt about things too and what they had seen with it. So we broke it into categories, and the categories were basically aligned to personnel and then into areas of federal and revenues and funding, such as federal and state funding, fare box and tax levy, oversight. We talked about procurement, budget, and policy, and then we talked about administration and those types of things. And when we talked about the outsource, it was kind of the way we talked about that was, what if we just kept things the way they were under a type of a program such as MTS. For insource, that would be bringing everything into the county, all of the administration and all of the employees into the county. Just so you kind of have an idea right now the county handles all of the grant reporting for transit. They handle all of the collection of state revenues, federal revenues. They bring all of that in-house, so that's all county personnel. So when we talk about state and federal funding, you'll notice that there's really no changes between the two operations because it's all handled by the county at the present time. And so that would not change under either scenario because the county has to be the receiver of all of those funds. The way it works right now, though, under the independence. They have, from an administrative standpoint, they have their own payroll systems, they have their own procurement systems, administration, information management services, all of their own systems there, and they do not depend upon any of the county systems at all. They are given approval for their budget at the beginning of the year by the county. They may come back for some fund transfers during the year, but they can go and do their purchasing as they need to. They're not subject to limits as departments are, to a limit in the commodities area or in the services area or in the personnel area. They have to report to us of where they are at so that we can report back to you if there's any surpluses or deficits overall, and so that we can come back. And in the recent years, they've had some surpluses in their programs for that. Just to give you an example of kind of how, I'm not going to go through each item in there, but, you know, for example, in the first section on page one in the table, personnel salary related. Under the outsource, we said that all employees are currently employed by MTS. Salary ranges are submitted annually to Milwaukee County from MTS. Under an insource, all employees would have to be evaluated and rehired when employed by Milwaukee County. A transition of this size may scope may require additional staffing to handle all aspects of the rehiring. And then we put a kind of a star next to an item to kind of give you, that's to kind of tell you that that's something that is should have a greater emphasis put on it when you're taking a look at the items in here. Corporation Counsel and Human Resources have to give opinions on job classification, salary range, and civil service classifications. Item 2 will require ordinance changes to Chapter 17 on personnel regarding benefits not addressed in the union contract. 3, all salary range determined by union agreement or by department would, with some approvals required by the county board. So we'd have to make some changes to ordinances. We would have to bring the people into the system, bring them under civil service rules. Currently, transit has, in the next section, if you look at unions, currently MTS, there are two unions. One union, the largest union, is ATU, which has 900 members, and there are 30 members of an office union. And then there are another 70 employees who are non-represented FTEs. Act 10 does not apply to transit employees at all, so either under the outsource or the insource function. And there are certain rules regarding the contracts under FTA rules. We also wanted to let you know that their contract expires on March 31st of 2015. So the negotiations would have to be done for that, and then any transition would have to be negotiated with them too, bringing them in. Mr. Chair, I don't know how much you want me to go through each of these items, or...
How about the pension?
The pension? They have their own... MTS has their own pension system. I don't know if we had that as a separate category or not, but...
You have it under benefits, page 2.
Under benefits. They have their own pension system right now. The pension system consists of, and I know this separately from what's... So MTS is a separate, where the employees are vested into it. The union, the two unions and the non-represented employees are all members of that union. And I believe that there are... they have their own agreement regarding that. 3 members of the board are members of the union. 3 members of the board are representatives of MTS. There would have to be agreement to move all of that over to the county under an insourcing, but that agreement would probably just hold true as because of the union contract. So you would have to look at bringing that in, all of the aspects of bringing that in of the benefits, and whether, you know, keeping it separate from our current system. Our theory was is that you would keep it separate, right, and that you would have two separate pension systems. The question would be is whether you would have an our group here do the administration of both of the plans, or whether you would keep the administration separate, meaning the county still manages the ERS plan, and I think they have an outside group that manages their pension plan at present. So, but you would probably keep those benefits in place since that's a negotiated item for that.
And we contribute to OPRA or something to
they it? Have an other post-employment benefit plan for their health care, because they have post-retirement health care. So they have begun contributing to that about 5 or 6 years ago, and I may be off by a year or two. Governmental accounting standards came out and said that proprietary funds had to, which they are, had to begin funding for other post-employment benefits. So they began funding at that time, and under the rules, they had 30 years to fund that amount. So they're 5 or 6 years down the road. They've been funding that along under the requirements of their actuarial plan. So they've been making the funding amounts into there. I have not seen the most recent report of their pension plan or of their other post-employment benefit plan to know where the percentage of funding is and where they're at. But I know last year, based upon the amounts, it was sitting pretty good with those numbers. But that was a year ago data that I have.
Any comments, Supervisor Borkowski?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, compliments to you, Mr. Mansky, and your team for putting this chart together. In my opinion, it seems like finding a cure for cancer would be easier than Milwaukee County taking over this system. Also by evidence of the fact that you could not find another system in the country that, in essence, county government or whatever had taken it over. That's an accurate statement, correct?
We asked the people from Sewer PAC if there was any examples that they could find where an outsourced transit entity had moved to an insource. They could not find any examples in the country. What they found was examples of kind of a hodgepodge, or kind of where the administration maybe is an outsourced function, but all the employees are, you know, government employees. Or they found an example where maybe the administration was the county, but all the employees were outsourced. But nothing where all of the a group had gone from all outsourced to insource.
Well, and I don't believe that we would support something that was hodgepodge. So this goes back to where we are today, okay? If my memory serves me correctly, MTS is in essence, a bonus year of their contract, 2014, that they are with us. Now, I'm not going to rehash all of the other contractual woes that we had and then the whole other work with MV and others, et cetera. But something as important as mass transit for this community, here it is, March of this last year. I'm not even sure legally we can get an extra year out of this contract. I'd like to know what are the next steps here? I mean, I would hope that we're not going down the path of taking it in-house, because in my eyes, that's ridiculous. And so I guess I'm curious as to if anybody has any vision as to how 2014, 2015, where we're going to be at with our mass transit system.
Transit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Well, where we are right now, we do have the contract expiring, as you've indicated, at the end of the year, which is the last year, option year, of a five-year contract. So that was the intent of the RFP in the first place, was to get ahead of that. Where we are right now, I think, policy-wise, is we have a policy directive from the budget that puts us in a position to look at insourcing, really, as an option. That language basically states, in effect, that if we're not under contract by April 1st of this year, that my department would start an initiative with all the other affected county divisions that are basically identified here in this list to go through the process of looking at a transition of bringing things in-house. I think there's some concerns about RFPing going forward, not from the standpoint of doing the RFP, but in terms of some of the timing elements. As we saw in this last RFP process, it went fairly long. It was appealed. There was an extensive appeal process that brought us into this year, and it's very likely that could happen again. So we'd have to have some leeway, I think, some of the conditions that are before us. It's possible we could go into 2015. I think it's something, a discussion we'd have to have with the FTA. We've had some of those discussions already, and it's possible we could go up to a year, but then you have issues beyond that with going into things of sole source procurement and so on. So there's a few more things that we'd have to explore.
And Mr. Dranzik, if I'm trying to explain that, or trying to understand this rather, so we're going to need FTA approval to allow an additional option year for MTS. Is that what I heard you say?
I think we'd want to be comfortable with going and talking to them and expressing what the situation is, and letting them know that this is the conditions that we're under right now, and that we would likely look to maybe have some transition sometime in 2015. I would hope we wouldn't go through the whole entire year of 2015, but if we had to go into 2015, that may be, a few months or whatever it is to go through a fully vetted process.
Well, maybe it's just me, but I'm not sensing a timeline here. I'm not sensing a sense of urgency. I guess, so at what stage do we turn into pumpkins? I mean, we're into March. We have this April 1 thing that is, in my eyes, like I said, ridiculous. I guess, what kind of timelines, what kind of vision do we have from leadership or anybody?
I think what we want to hear is some of the debate that's going to happen today, perhaps in finance. And there's this action goes to finance as well, based on the budget. It was a referral back to TPW and to finance. So hearing what supervisors have to say, there's been some interest, I guess, in the media lately by supervisors who have said they want to perhaps look at a re-RFP. Again, it goes back to we gotta have to understand, is there going to be roadblocks in the way? If we're going to go down a dual track, or if we're going to look at different options, I'd like to know that we're not going to hit a wall at December 31st, 2014. And have to stop everything. I think from our standpoint, that's reasonable. What's before us right now, policy-wise, is to look at bringing things in-house. And we've started to assemble some of our thoughts on that and some of our actions on that, but I think it's worth hearing what the committee has to say and what the Finance Committee has to say to get a full understanding of other views.
Well, I think the time for dilly-dallying is over, but, Mr. Chairman, I'm finished.
Senator Washon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just remind my colleagues, we did pass budget. We have the policy item has been debated. It's been put forward. The board voted on it. Their direction has been given to the department that if an RFP wasn't settled by April 1st, that they would then, put together the process for bringing it in-house. That's the policy. If you don't like the policy, or the administration doesn't like the policy, they have to submit something to this board, and we will vote on it in that process. But otherwise, what is on the books is there, and they need to move forward on it, as Supervisor Borkowski said, with some urgency here. And so I don't – the issue, as far as I'm concerned, has been settled. The department has its direction, and they need to follow it. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to receive and place on file item 10.
All right. Supervisor Jersey.
Thank you. I believe the budget directive in April 1st was to have that discussion. And I'm not willing to just jump to the bottom line and assume that we're not going to evaluate that we're not going to evaluate what's been put before us. I think that's what we're supposed to be doing here. I have a really pressing question. I did go back. I actually went back to the 1970s when the decision was made to structure MTS the way it is structured currently. People did things for a reason back then, and one of the main issues that I don't know is being addressed, and I actually need perhaps Corp Counsel to address a little bit of it, is the whole issue of where we are with regard to the transit employees and mandatory arbitration. Now, if I'm correct, and I'm going to ask Corp Counsel to weigh in on this, if I'm correct, currently firefighters and police officers continue to have mandatory arbitration rights. That basically was changed for everyone else under Act 10. But I wasn't clear because federal rules required us to have unions for the transit services. We are, as I understand it, required to have transit unions. My question is, do they also still have mandatory arbitration rights if we bring them in-house?
Supervisor Jersey and Supervisors Paul Bargan, Corporation Counsel. I don't know the answer to that specific question, but it would be partly a matter of their contract. And generally speaking, the union would survive as a union with, I think, its current status if they did come in-house because of some exceptions that were made in Act 10. We are looking at some of these issues, and we'll have some more detailed responses soon, and I'll add that to the list and make sure that we address that.
Well, I think that is a key question, of which, unless I have an answer to that, I will not be able to make a decision on it. I guess I'm asking the question, given that certain groups, that is police, fire, and perhaps transit, were not affected by Act 10, they continued to have mandatory arbitration. I also believe, going back in the 70s, one of the key reasons for keeping some of these things outside of county government may have been that issue. So I think that's a really key issue that we need to have answered, and I'm going to certainly want to get that address for us. I do appreciate all of the charts that we have. I note that there's absolutely no attempt made to evaluate a cost. And I know, Mr. Mansky, if you want to address that.
Well, it was our, when we got the directive was kind of to look at the items regarding outsources versus insourcing. And with the time frame that we had to meet the agenda cycle, we decided that we really couldn't do a detailed financial analysis. So what we decided to do is, as a group, come up with the items that people need to think about regarding the issues of insourcing versus outsourcing. I mean, it's intended to give you a flavor of the items that are there, but we just didn't have the time to
deal with any detailed financial analysis at all.
Right, and it's going to depend on the policy direction that the board chooses to go in. Once you have that, then perhaps we can get a financial. But one of the things I noted going through here is, as you made comments about, you know, you may need additional HR staff, it also strikes me that all of these things are being separately done now by MTS, which means they have HR issues, they have HR staff.
Right.
They have IT issues, they have IT staff. So in some ways, even though you're noting additional needs for bringing them in-house, some of that is actually going to be resolved by bringing the resources in-house as well. So I get that that's going to be a complicated issue. What is an enticing thought to me is, and perhaps could even be something that Mr. Dranzik and his department can use as an interim step. I do think bringing this in-house is going to take more than a year. It's going to take substantial planning, really substantial looks at, you know, how you're going to either share resources, eliminate resources, bring resources in-house. And one of your options is to move only two management positions in-house and assume ownership of MTS, but the employees do not become MC employees. And as I understand it, previously, when we went out and did our RFPs, we only RFP'd the very top executive positions. And this is the first year we attempted to do more than that, and you know, maybe because of that had some issues with the process. I'm not ready to give up on the process. I would like to keep all options on the table for us, but I also understand the need to, you know, have some ability to look at this and do it, you know, in a comprehensive way. And it seems to me that that option could be a way to give us additional time and have a transition period just for that top administrative staff and continue to look at, you know, the need to bring this in-house or not. I also, and I can imagine SewerPAC had some contact with this, the idea of going to an RTA. I mean, everyone understands that our mass transit users don't necessarily stop at the county line just because transit stops at the county line. And that's one of the problems we have, getting people to jobs, getting people back and forth, whereas a regional transit authority is a way to address that. Instead of having every single county try to look at transit just from within the county, the reality of a region is people cross county lines all the time. But unfortunately, transit doesn't. And I know SewerPAC has been pointing that out to us for a very long time, and it's something that we should not ignore. So it seems to me that option one there is perhaps one of the most creative ways we have of saying we'll do this now and keep the other options of doing a greater RFP for management of the larger system, perhaps even looking at other ways of being creative in terms of cost savings and so on, the way MV claimed they were trying to do it, and also still try to look at these other issues. And as the political scene changes, that option one perhaps gives the county the most flexibility overall. I don't know if you have a response to that.
That was one of the options that we had brought up as a group and talked about it, and we didn't explore it in depth, but we look at it from the standpoint that, you know, generally in a corporate acquisition, when companies take over other companies, they bring them in, they buy the stock of them, but they leave the entire company there and then slowly take certain things away from them. And then when they're set and they've moved all operations or other things away, then they kind of, they still leave the shell there, but they've moved all of the operations in by that time. And that allows you the opportunity to slowly bring that in, but generally that's a corporate to a corporate type environment. Now we're talking about a corporate to a government environment, and whether what issues you have in doing that type of a thing. So it's one of the things we talked about, to provide some time to be able to do the transition and to do other things, but we haven't explored it completely legally yet. We haven't explored it legally yet to make sure that we can do it, but it was an option that we thought as a group we could explore to give us some time.
Could I ask Mr. Dranzik, since previously we had only done that part of the MTS, you know, that the top executives, apparently that satisfied us with regard to the federal rules with regard to, you know, going out and doing RFPs in increments of time. And if we did bring that in-house, would we then not have to continue to do those RFPs until we, you know, explore how we want to perhaps run transit?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I think that's one of the big issues and I think a pretty big legal question that we'd have to have settled. As Mr. Minsky points out, you're taking a private entity, a private business, and now changing it structurally. And what we're contracting with right now is effectively two managers of that system. You're going to take those two managers away from that system, and now what do you have as a kind of a corporate entity? So I think it's a bit of a legal issue in terms of understanding what you're doing and how you're affecting that.
But we could explore that and explore it with the federal rules. If we're relieved from then having to do RFPs while we explore all these things, I think that would be another plus for us.
The question is, are you still in a contractual relationship with a business entity that you then have to competitively have a competitive process with? So, you know, that's I think the really big issue in all of it. Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, I know I'm spending a lot of time here, but I would like the answer to those two big questions. Number one, the mandatory arbitration question with Corp Counsel, and asking our department to address the question, if we would bring option one as the policy directive, are we going to be relieved from doing those RFPs and really allow us then to explore all the other options that we might want to explore on running transit?
Mr. Chairman, could I ask that we also bring in Corp Counsel or get a legal...
Sure, whoever you need to bring in. I mean, I'm not trying to direct you how to do it. I just want to get an answer to the question.
No problem. Senator Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was fairly predictable that the situation we're in today was one of the very real possibilities that we were going to be in when we did the budget. And going forward, if you reject outright the idea of bringing it in-house, or if that, you know, if people really feel that that is terrible,
ridiculous, I said.
Ridiculous. You, in doing so, you have to that you essentially are expressing your confidence that the next round of RFP will be free of any of the issues in the first round. I mean, you have to believe, unless you're willing to roll the dice on there being transit service next January, you have to believe that we can get through a new RFP successfully without an appeal and a delayed process, and have the transition occur before January 1st. Many of the transition issues of bringing it in-house also exist in transitioning from one management company to the other. That's why I think the parallel track makes sense, because I understand that not everyone is convinced that bringing it in-house is worthwhile, or that it, I should say, many people have reservations, okay, and for different reasons, I think. And they're all over the spectrum. But I also believe that this question of the FTA extension is the key in giving any viability to a new RFP, because I do not have confidence that a new RFP, an award of a contract, any appeal, and a transition will, I'm not confident that that will all, that that can all occur before January 1st of 15. So absent some leeway from FTA that will be bridged if we're having a successful RFP and we're trying to get through it, that we don't have January 1 as our absolute drop deadline, our drop dead deadline. Absent that, I'm not that confident that the next RFP could be successful, and that's why I would be against any move to change our progress on evaluating and transitioning towards bringing it in-house. I think that the minimum is that we get that FTA clarification, and in the meantime, that you pursue it on a parallel track. I do have one technical question, and it's about the sort of idea, what I think is a rather novel approach of whether or not you can, there could be an agreed acquisition of MTS. Someone said that that MTS's IRS designation was not a typical 501c3, but was a tax treatment that they were viewed by the IRS as an instrumentality of the municipality. And I wonder to what extent that factors into this municipal, corporate to municipal transfer, and that it may not be as clean. It's not as distinct as the, you know, us buying MV or, you know, a private transit company. So I believe that there's actually very little distinction or less distinction than people are making between what we're proposing to do and what we've effectively done for four decades. And the analogy I would draw to this would be the way that the city of Milwaukee runs a housing authority or a redevelopment authority or other corporate entities that are effectively departments, but they are set up with some separation. And they're run with a mixture of city employees and technically non-city employees. And that's effectively what's potentially before us.
You have that question?
I don't know if anyone's prepared to answer that, but I just think,
Burden, are you?
I think that it's among the legal questions that have to be resolved. I think many of those things, I hope that we have all those documents and are doing that analysis.
Chairman and Supervisors, certainly the kind of thing that we would be looking at if we, you know, to move forward with this analysis. I know that there are some pension, that treatment arose in the pension setting. I'm not sure how far it carries through. We just have to examine it.
And also, when you look at it, make sure everybody understands we, Milwaukee County, own all the assets of the bus system. So we own, it's not like a transfer, just transfer management. Supervisor Alexander?
I had no questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Dranser, you had a comment, then we're going to go to the public.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to mention the dual track. I think the issue for us in the dual track, which is a resource issue, you know, it's going to take a lot to go on the path of looking at bringing this operation in-house with all the other affected areas within the county. It's also a lot of work to redo an RFP and go through that process simultaneously as well with the resources that we have. So it becomes kind of a resource issue for us in terms of how we address that internally in the department.
Okay. Let me go to the public. We only have two, then we come back to the committee. Anita?
Yeah, exactly.
Look what we have here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Supervisor Mayone, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to comment on the report. I think that Mr. Mansky and his committee did a tremendous job in putting the report together, and I think that the issues that they've identified and outlined are all very real. Unfortunately, I'd have to say that I think that the choice that they've put before you is unrealistic. It's not a matter of continuing with MTS the way it is right now or continuing to move forward and incorporate MTS into Milwaukee County, particularly if you go out to bid again on this contract in the same way that you've gone out to bid on it this year. I think Supervisor Lipscomb made a very important point when he stated that the issues that you're looking at are issues that would need to be resolved, not just if MTS became part of Milwaukee County officially, but if someone else besides MTS were to manage and operate the transit system. Those are transition issues that you will have to deal with regardless of that. Milwaukee Transport Services was created as a private, not-for-profit entity with the sole purpose of managing and operating the Milwaukee County transit system. It is related to Milwaukee County and intimately tied with Milwaukee County right now, and I don't have answers to all the legal questions of what the separations and unities between those entities are. But I do think that if you move forward with an RFP process that is structured in the way that this RFP process was structured, you need to have a clearer understanding of how those things would be resolved if someone other than MTS were to manage the system before you move forward with that. You know, I have concerns about the way that this process was handled. I think that the board has done a tremendous job of pointing out the fact that it was not handled appropriately, and I would certainly hope that the board would be involved in any process moving forward with this. That's all I have to
say. Thank you. Mr. Macon, you back one more time.
Thank you. To answer that question, we follow under 13C. Whoever takes it over, we still have negotiation rights. I know that what the state was looking at, trying to make us part of Act 10, but they don't want to lose that $68 million that they would lose if our rights is taken. And I don't think this county would like that neither, because we need the funding bad. And if you lose $68 million from this federal government, you won't have to worry about this problem anymore, because the system won't even exist. Also, just like everybody was saying, my first problem is this RFP was stupid. If this county runs the RFP like they ran it, I don't know why I want to be a county employee. Why would you basically put references on there and don't follow them or look them up? Right now, MV's history throughout the whole United States.
We're not talking about.
Well, I'm just talking about the RFP itself.
Just talk about the RFP.
Okay, the RFP itself, why would you actually ask people to put down references if you don't check them? It makes no sense. It's dumb. You know, and whoever came up with this RFP should have did their homework, because the histories of these places is not great. Why would you have one person on RFP actually admitted that they was taking $6 million out of this county? Why do we need to have $6 million leave our county? We need to keep our money in our county. You know, we keep talking about supporting the county, but you taking $6 million away from the county makes no sense. You know, so the RFP itself needs to be, you know, redeveloped before you even thinking about putting the RFP out, because the way they set it up don't make any sense. Talking about making this county employee bring this in-house, just like we were saying, MCTS was invented or put together because we had private companies running this system before, and they pretty much threw it on the doorsteps to the county. You give us more money or we leave in town. You know, do you actually want to put us in that situation again? So maybe the county board needs to look at, you know, what is their overall picture? Do you want a company that's to get take off anytime, or a company that's basically been here and put a good service in there? So that's what you need to look at. Everybody keeps talking about what's best for the county. Best for the county is basically taking care of our people that's catching the bus. And when you got a company that's willing to leave town anytime they want to, just because they're not making the money they want to, that's going to be on your heads.
All right, thanks. Supervisor Borkowski.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to pass.
Supervisor Alexander, then we're going to take a vote. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Supervisor.
Just to receive and place.
Receive and place. All right, great. So, Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering if Corp Council has on record copies of MTS's most recent filings for corporate status and IRS filings that they would be able to provide this committee a copy of for file purposes.
Supervisors, I do not have copies of those. I'm sure that we can look into those and try to get those.
If that's something that either Corp Council could facilitate or that MTS would be willing to provide, I'd like the committee to receive a copy of their corporate filings with the state, their most recent IRS status filing, as well as a copy of the organization's bylaws.
Okay.
Thank you.
What was the last item you said?
The organization's bylaws, if those are public.
And the reason why?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Generally speaking, when an organization files their corporate status and their IRS filings, those documents refer to the bylaws on how an organization is operated, how employees can be replaced, et cetera. And so those bylaws would be pertinent to this discussion.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Yeah, just responding to Mr. Dranzik's comments. You know, I think it might be wise for the administration to seriously look at getting a very comprehensive transportation consultant who can perhaps work with the administration on doing an RFP process, bring in someone who has the expertise in this area, who knows the federal regs and the federal laws and so on, and perhaps can also help with this whole transition process should we decide to go forward on that. I think perhaps now's the time to look at a consultant with regard to some of those things, and it might be a wise idea to do that. Thank you.
Washon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before we leave the item, I just want to point out we already have the policy direction to the department, and that is with the April 1st, and they need to follow through with that. They don't need to look to the board for any other direction than what's in the budget. And in fact, I would, you know, warn my colleagues a little bit. Don't be dragged into this mess that they created. The fact is that they knew in November when we passed the budget that they had until April 1st to straighten out their RFP process and to present something to the board. They mucked it all up. Now, our job, as we've been reminded constantly, is that we're not supposed to micromanage. We set the policy. It's in the budget. It says you need to get your act together by April 1st. And I would suggest that you follow that. It's not up to us to tell you how to do your job on that. And I think it's been well pointed out that transition issues exist. I would just like to remind people that I think MTS is much closer to Milwaukee County as a entity than it is closer to a private entity. And I find it amusing that people, especially on this committee, who over the years who've, you know, you don't agree with a bus stop being changed, you don't agree with a bus route being cut, all that kind of stuff, have used the authority that they have because of our county involvement to stop those things or to put money into the budget to get a route to go someplace. Or, you know, we've debated for hours what they should charge people and talk about micromanaging, about different passes and things like that. And now we want to somehow claim that there's some magical private entity that we somehow have no influence over. They are much closer to being a county department, and I would say have been a far more responsive department in my time on the board than a lot of different county departments. So
let's just be focused on the issue, and that is providing transit, and let the administration do its job that we've directed it to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll on receive, place on file, please.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Six ayes, zero noes. The motion to receive and place this item on file is approved.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We are